Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. How the believer loves, desires with all our heart for our Lord to receive all the glory. All the glory in our salvation. I'm going to try, if the Lord will enable me this morning, to preach again from this text. It's my favorite. I guess I should say one of them. One of my favorite texts in the Bible. One of the first places where the Lord opened the Scriptures to me and made me truly delight in my Lord. The Scripture says, at the end of this thought, in verse 29, the Spirit of God is moving the Apostle Paul, says, no flesh shall glory in God's presence. Do you know what flesh means? What do the Scriptures mean? What does God mean when He says flesh? Look at John chapter 3. I want you to look at these Scriptures with me. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. And He said this. John chapter 3, verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's what flesh is. Flesh is what every man is by our first birth. That's what we are. We're flesh. It's from Adam to his son, all the way down the line to your great-grandparents and mine, to your mothers and fathers and mine, all the way right to us. Flesh. Now let me ask you this second question. What does glory mean? No flesh so glory in His presence. What does it mean to glory? It means to boast in. It means to joy in. It means to give all the praise and all the honor. All men, born the first time, have a will. We all are born into this world with a will. No man is a robot. Man is a thinking, reasoning, intellectual creature. He's born that way. And every single man that's born into this world has one desire of His will. And that is that self get the boasting. It get the glory. It get the praise. How much, how often do we speak of I and me and mine and ours? How much does that personal pronoun. How much do those take up our communication? It seems that no matter how the doctor says that the disease is incurable, it seems no matter how far out to sea we are, how bad the hurricane is, how bad the sharks are around us, how bad we're dead in the water, how bad somebody has, how completely, thoroughly somebody else has completely plucked us out while we were unconscious, somehow we always manage to say, "Oh, I was just so strong. I was just so wise. I had such a will to survive." That's the result of what happened in the garden. Because of Adam's one transgression in the garden, we're born spiritually dead, cut off from an understanding and a knowledge of the true and living God of heaven and earth. And the result is, the sure and certain effect of man is, of me and you, I've passed this on to my son. And every man here has passed it on to his. And this is the sure and certain result. We come into this world wanting ourselves to be praised and to be glorified and to get the glory. Now we're talking about glory in salvation. I'm talking about salvation. We're talking about being saved. We're talking about being brought into the presence of a triune God who is holy and who is righteous and who is just. We're talking about the true and living God. He said this, I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory I will not give to another. Neither my praise to graven images, to any work of man's hand. The Spirit of God is testifying here. The Spirit of God is speaking here. In 1 Corinthians 1:29. And the Spirit of God said, "No flesh shall glory in God's presence." Well, I got another question. How is a sinner? How is a sinner going to be brought to be made willing to cease desiring the glory and give all the glory to God? How's that going to come about? Let's read our text. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. But of God. That's how this is going to come about. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. This is a who we're talking about. Who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, according as God has written it, by the hand of His messengers of old, He that glorieth, He that boasts, He that praises, He that makes His boast, let him make his boast in the Lord. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 9. That's where the Apostle Paul is preaching. He's preaching from the Old Testament Scripture. He says here in Jeremiah chapter 9, Jeremiah 9:23. Thus saith the Lord. Now, we might want to pay attention to this, because this is the God we're going to meet. We're going to meet Him. This is inevitable. Can't stop this. We're going to meet Him. Here's what He says. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Don't let him boast. Don't let him put any confidence. Don't let him rejoice in any of these things. But here comes something absolutely, totally opposite to us. But let him that glorieth glory in this. I'm hanging on every word here, because I want to know what God says glory in. I want to know wherein God says boast. Put your confidence. Put all your trust. Put all your hope. This is where He said, let him put all his trust, all his boasting in this, that he understandeth and knoweth Is that it? That he understands and that he knows? Is that what he's supposed to put his trust in? That he's got some knowledge? He just said, don't let the wise man glory in his might. What's this knowledge? What's this understanding? Look at that next word. Me. The Lord's talking. God said, let him glory in this, that he understands and knows me. Me. Now, let's look at this word. That I. What do we know and understand about him? He qualifies this. What's this knowledge and this understanding about the Lord? That I am the Lord, which exercise. You know what that word exercise means? It means absolutely, as fully as you can spread it out and imagine it to be, that God accomplishes, that God fulfills, that God gives, that God bestows, that God is the sole accomplisher of loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. Now, he said he's going to accomplish this in the earth. He's going to come and do this in the earth. This is the Lord speaking. This is God speaking. This is Jehovah speaking. This is the great I Am speaking. And he says, I am the one who exercises. I accomplish this. All the mercy and all the truth that he requires, he says, I exercise it. I accomplish it in the earth. And he says this, for in these I delight. He delights in mercy. He delights in loving kindness. He delights in judgment. He delights in righteousness. And these that he delights in are those who boast and delight in him alone, accomplishing, exercising this in the earth. He delights in them. You know why? Because he's the wisdom whereby we delight. He's the very wisdom in whom we delight, by whom we delight. Who is this wisdom? Who is this wisdom? Who is this wisdom? Our text says it's Christ Jesus, that man, that one that came forth in the earth. He's wisdom. He is the one in whom all the truth of God, all the mercy of God, all the judgment of God, all the justice of God, all the character of God, all the glory of God is revealed and manifest and made known in man, in men. And those who have been given this wisdom, we understand and we know by wisdom himself, that it's God alone who has saved us. Now God's saying to us here, I'm not sharing the glory that belongs to my name, to the Lord. He says, I'm not sharing this glory with anybody. No flesh. That's me and you, brethren. Listen now, no flesh is going to glory in his presence. We're not going to be able to glory in his presence. Not in our flesh. Not in our will. Not in our wisdom. Not in our power. Not in our might. Not anything in us. The Lord came to Abraham. He made a promise to Abraham. He promised Abraham that he's going to save Abraham through this son who's coming. This miracle of God's grace who's coming. Who's going to be, as it were, life coming from the dead. Just like Sarah's womb was completely dead. Just like she was unable to conceive in her womb. This race that Christ came through was just that dead. So that he is life coming through the dead. Coming through the flesh. Into the flesh. And when he made this promise to Abraham, Romans 4:21 gives us a wonderful, wonderful definition of what faith is. This is what faith is. Romans 4:21. Being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God also was able to perform. You understand what he said there? God told him, Abraham, I not only make this promise, I'm the one that's going to perform it. I'm not only making this promise of salvation, he says, I'm the one that's going to come forth and perform it. Now that's what Jeremiah, the Lord is saying through Jeremiah. He said, I am the Lord who exercised. I'm the one who's going to come forth and perform all my goodness, all my righteousness. Now, when we started out here, we said, the believer wants God. We want our Lord Jesus Christ to get all the glory. Is everybody here still thinking that? I know those who have been made to know this wisdom. You're saying in your heart, oh yes, I am so glad. I'm so delightful. I'm just thankful that he's made me to know him, to rejoice in him. But you see what I'm talking about here? What we're talking about here is what the Lord says through Paul in Galatians. This is the offense of the cross. Most people in this world are never offended at the God that's declared by the majority in this world, because there's nothing about that God to be offended about. He doesn't do anything contrary to a man. Man picks him up. Man carries him. Man sets him down. Man tells him when he can jump, how high he can jump, what he can do, when he can do it, how much he can do it. Because man's formed him and made him in his own imagination. And that's the wisdom we have by nature. And that God's not offensive to anybody. But this God we're talking about, he's going to cut this flesh and make it worthless. He's going to make us see it's worthless. Because there's absolutely no way for God to get all the glory from such a worm as I, which we just sang loud, for such a worm as I. That little squiggly white thing that just makes your stomach crawl when you open up the garbage can and see it writhing around in the garbage. Such a worm as I. Every religion in this world, it doesn't matter what name it goes by, it doesn't matter what the name of the God is, every religion in this world that is not of the God of heaven, that's not the truth of the God of heaven, somewhere, either in the beginning, in the middle, throughout, or in the end, somewhere requires something of a man. Requires him to add something to it. And that is works. And a man, he'll receive that. He'll rejoice in that. Because if you and I have done anything in this thing of salvation, we have wherein to make our boast. By grace are you saved. And that by through faith. And that the faith is not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Lest any man should boast. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace. There's either works or it's grace. Either a man's trusting in works or he's trusting in the grace of God. And the grace of God is the gospel. It is the truth. It is the truth of God. That's who He is. That's His name. That's who the Lord is. That's how He saves. And these two things, look at Romans 11. This thing of grace and works. These two things are never able to be mixed. They just not. Watch this. Romans 11, verse 6. If by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. You see, they're absolutely contrary. They're absolutely opposite to each other. Man's work is opposite of God's grace. Man and his doing and what he puts his trust in and his boast in, the flesh, is absolutely opposite to the grace of God. Totally, and it can't be, these two won't be mixed. They can't be mixed. You can't have grace and work. You can't have a mixture of them. Cain and Abel, first murder committed in this world. And here it is. Cain came with those vegetables he had grown. He had worked that soil. He had grown those vegetables. He brought those to God, expecting God to look upon the work of His hand and say, "Oh, yes, I'll receive you." And Abel came with blood. He came with the blood of a lamb who was slain in his place. And he came offering this to God as the only way God would receive him. And God received Abel, and he rejected Cain, because Cain came by his works, and Abel came saying, "There is absolutely nothing good in me. I come solely in the merits and the deeds and the holiness of another." And that lamb is a picture of Christ Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That one God chose. That one God delighted in. That one the Father took a people and put in and said, "This is my Son. This is mine elect. This is the one who come forth and exercise my loving kindness, my mercy. He'll exercise judgment. He'll exercise righteousness. This one will come forth and he will glorify my name." And because this one who came forth, Christ Jesus, is God, the Son of God in human flesh, God Himself is the one who wrought the whole work of saving His people. He's this wisdom. He's this wisdom. Look at Ephesians 1:3. Moses asked God, he said, "Show me, Lord, show me your glory." And this is the first thing God said to him. God said, "This is my glory. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful. Look at Ephesians 1:3. Now listen, until we know, until we've met wisdom, and He's entered in, we don't have any idea what a glorious, good and delightful and wonderful declaration this is. That this is all of God. It's all of His Son. Look at Ephesians 1:3. Blessed, glory, praise Him, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. To the praise, to the boasting of, to the glorying of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Look at Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. This is what Paul said about that. Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. He says in verse 11, he's speaking about Jacob and Esau, these twins, by the same fleshly father, by the same fleshly mother. He said, the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written in the Old Testament Scriptures, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Is that not right for God? God forbid. He said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it's not of him that willeth, it's not of him that runneth, but it's God that shows mercy. You see that? This is God that shows mercy. 1 John 5:20 says, and we know Him. We know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we're in Him that is true. And this is life eternal. This Son's Christ Jesus, and this is life eternal. This is the true God. Now, when are we going to know this? When are we going to understand this? When are we going to stop boasting in ourselves and boast only in God and only in His wisdom? Our text says, of God are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. That's when Christ, in whom God put whoever He chose according to His will and His good pleasure and His grace, when He has come by the Spirit of Christ and He's entered in to these dead bodies, we're going to know wisdom. We're going to know Christ. We're going to know who God is then. So that's the first thing Christ is. He's wisdom to us. That's wherein we're going to glory when we met wisdom. Christ is wisdom. I don't have any as I come in this flesh. I tell you how backwards this man right here, how undone and how ignorant and how totally opposite of God I was. I thought God would save me because of something I contributed. And it's only by God not allowing me to contribute one thing, but by Christ entering in, that I've met the wisdom of God. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful because now I realize what a dead, lifeless, helpless, worthless thing I was boasting in. My flesh. Here's the second thing. Christ is made unto us righteousness. Righteousness, he says here, 1 Corinthians 1:30, of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness. Righteousness means deeds. It means deeds. It means that which the law says, doing. It means that which is right according to what the law legally says, what God Himself says is right. That's what righteousness is. Look at Romans 5:7. I want you to see by the deeds. Romans 5:17. It says, by one man's offense, that means his deeds, means what he did, by one man's, death reigned by one. Adam sinned and it was passed on, just like we said in the beginning. Much more, they which receive, have it given to them the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, shall reign in life by one. That's Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Look down at verse 19. As by one man's disobedience, by one man's disobedient deed, by one deed, many were made sinners. Everybody he represented. So by the obedience of one, by his deeds, shall many be made righteous. Now look back at Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, now watch this. By the deeds. See this? This is by the doing of the law. By our doing of the law, there's that word again. Flesh. What did Christ tell us flesh mean? That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And not by any deeds of a man. Is any according to the law, there is no man going to be justified in God's sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's why God gave it. But this obedience, the righteousness of God, without the law, without our deeds, is manifested. Being witnessed by the law and prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. It's by His deeds. That's what we just read in Romans 5. By one man's deeds shall many be made righteous. By His deeds. For this is why it can't be by our deeds. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Talk about glory here. We're talking about we've come short of God praising, being able to put any trust in us. We've come short of it by Adam's one, his deeds. By Christ's deeds, by His deeds, by His doing, everything in the law of God is completely fulfilled. by His deeds. And He did that as the representative of all those that God sent. God said He chose us in Christ, and He blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Every one that He represented, He's the last Adam. First Adam was just a figure and type of Him. He's the last Adam. The first man was of the earth. He was earthy. He's flesh. And those born of Him is flesh. The second man is the Lord from heaven. He's God come in human flesh. He's the Son of God come down to exercise, to accomplish, to fulfill, to do everything by His deeds that God requires and says in His law is right. And He's come down and He's done those deeds. He did them all. And everybody that He represented did them. They did those deeds. Not ourselves. When He did them. When He did them. And the righteousness of the law, that which God's law declares, that which if you could get right down, the fulfillment of the law is love. It's love toward God and it's love toward brethren. And Christ Jesus fulfilled the very right deed of the law in absolute perfect obedience when He gave Himself and was willingly, this one who knew no sin, who was right, who was a fit sacrifice, who was a spotless lamb, this one who could truly say that He had never in His flesh done anything evil. This one was willingly made to be the awful, awful thing that His people, those God gave Him, are. So that God poured out the wrath, fulfilled justice by just a wrath. Just wrath. Just eternal wrath. If you perish from this earth and you go and you meet God in judgment and you are outside of Christ, you'll never satisfy the wrath of God. We can't even satisfy the wrath of God when we die and perish. But Christ satisfied that righteousness. And this is what Paul said. Let's look at this. Philippians chapter 3. This is what Paul said. Before, he was trusting in all these things too. He was looking at himself. He was looking at his deeds. He was looking at his pedigree. He was looking at who he came from, who his mama and his daddy was, and what church affiliation he belonged to, and what sect of men's things he belonged to. But now he said this. Verse 9. I count that dung. Verse 8. Garbage, rubbish, that I might win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. I don't want God to look at any of my deeds. Philippians 3:9. I want to be found in Christ. That of God are you in Christ, he said. By His grace, who of God has made unto us wisdom, and He's made unto us to be the right deeds. All the deeds that God requires, He's made to be. I want to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, which is of my doing, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. What did he say? In Jeremiah, he said, rejoice in this, that you understand and know me. And Paul said this, verse 10, that I might know him. I want to know him. Now, where this is let me go back to Romans 3 here for you, where this is accomplished by Him and this faith is given. Look at the end of Romans 3. End of Romans 3, verse 28. I'm sorry, verse 27. Where is boasting then? Where are we going to boast then? Where are we going to glory then? It's excluded. That means it's taken out of the way. There is nowhere to boast in. By what law? By what principle is this taken away? Is it by your doing? Is it by your works? No. It's by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified. He's right. God counts him to have done all the deeds necessary by faith without the deeds of the law. You see that? Without the deeds of the law. And it doesn't matter, he says there, if you're a Jew or if you're a Gentile. This is what God's been declaring from the foundation of the world. This is what He told Israel when He chose Israel and he made them into a nation. He said, I didn't choose you because you were more mighty or anything about you any greater than any nation. You're the least of all nations. They were slaves in Egypt. He said, and He shows us in that He hadn't chose anybody. That He chose Jew. His people are Jew and Gentile. From Adam, Abraham's natural descendants, which are Gentiles, because Abraham was a Gentile. He was the uncircumcision. That's when he was called. And not from Isaac or Jacob's. Israel. Jacob. Israel. He was called a Jew after the flesh. And not of them. Not of them. Christ is made unto us righteousness. So He justified all for whom He lived and all for whom He died. We're going to go out here, and we got a pool of water. And just like when you die, when you physically die, listen, it might not matter to you because you'll be dead. But everybody else is going to want you to be buried. We're going to want your body to be buried. And we're going to dig a hole and put you in it. Or find a tomb and put you in it. Your body. Do something with it. Bury it. Christ Jesus, when He died, when He answered the justice of God and He laid down His life, no man took it from Him, He laid it down willingly. And when He laid down His life and He gave up the ghost willingly, satisfying the justice of God, He paid the wages of sin that every one of His people owed. Every one of those chosen of God and put in Him. Every one of those to whom He shall be made wisdom. Every one of those for whom all His deeds are their righteousness. He satisfied all the demands of the law. And He was buried. And when He was buried, that which is called flesh, that which you are born of your first birth, everyone He was representing, their body of sin, their body of flesh, everything they are by their first birth, that whole opposition of God and hatred against God was buried in Christ. Under the earth, under the wrath of God, immersed in the wrath of God, under the wrath of God, just as Israelites went under the cloud and under the sea and through the sea and was baptized unto Moses. We're going to go out here and we're going to put somebody completely under the water, just like a grave. But when Christ came out of that grave, everybody who was in Him, of God, are you in Him? that no flesh should glory in His presence, God said, I'll be merciful to whom I'll be merciful, and I'll be gracious to whom I'm gracious. Of God are they in Him. And they came out of that grave in Him. And they came to the throne of God in Him. And they sat down at the right hand of God in Him. And God said, every one of them, I'm calling them all. I'm going to make them to behold all my goodness. I'm going to make all my goodness pass before them. I'm going to declare all my glory into them. And I'm going to do it by making them see I've put them in the cleft of the rock. I've put them in Christ my Son by my grace. And they, when I do it, they're not going to glory in their right deeds. They're going to glory in His right deeds. His right deeds. Boasting is excluded. Not by anything in us, but by His right. His righteousness. His deeds. What Christ did. Now look at this third thing. Of Him, 1 Corinthians 1:30. Of Him, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness? Can you glory? Are you glorying in Him so far? Are you thankful that all this is by God's grace? So far? Oh, here comes a tremendous weight and a tremendous burden off the child of God's mercy. Yeah, a tremendous weight rolled off of him. Of God is Christ made unto us sanctification. You know what the word means? It means holiness. It means holiness. Without holiness, no man's going to see God. You see, righteousness has to do with right deeds. Holiness has to do with a whole new inward creation and character and nature. You see, our defilements in our heart. This is where the defilement comes from. It's not what goes into the mouth of a man that defiles him. You can abstain from this and eat certain that and do whatever you want to and all those things. I'll jump up and down, bounce around, do whatever you want to do. It's out of your heart. It's out of my heart. No, in my flesh dwells no good thing. And I got to be holy. And you got to be holy to come into God's presence. Just like Christ is our wisdom, so that we can't glory that we came up with any of this on our own or thought any of this or would have ever imagined this is how God say. Just like Christ is all our right deeds so that we don't look at our legal anything we've done by the law. So Christ is all our holiness, our purity, our complete and total fountain of cleansing, opened by God's grace, wherein we're cleansed from all pollution. He is the holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Let me show you something in Romans 8:8. Romans 8:8. You see, God's not going. He's not going to make this sinful flesh of ours, what we are by our first birth, He's not going to use that. If He did, we could still say, ah, yes, I did something. We could glory in ourselves. He's not going to give us any room to glory. But He creates a new man within that body of flesh. And He is that new man. Christ enters in. The Spirit of Christ enters in. And He is that sanctification. Now watch this. Romans 8:8. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. Remember, Christ said, that which is of flesh is of flesh. He said, Nicodemus, you have to be born again. That which is of spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, is spirit. He that's united to the Lord is one spirit. That's what the scripture says. Watch it. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh. Ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. If Christ is entered in. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But if Christ be in you, if Christ be in you, the body, that which is born of the flesh, is dead because of sin. It's still flesh. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. It's life because of righteousness. Never, listen to me, never, this is what this glorious good news is, never look to your flesh. Never. Listen, believer, you who have been born of the Spirit of Christ, in whom Christ has entered, never look to your flesh. Don't look to it to try to make you something that it will never make you. Christ Jesus the Lord is that new man. He is that one in whom we are perfected forever. He is that one in whom His people are made the righteousness and holiness of God, created anew in righteousness and true holiness, following after the Spirit, following after holiness, following after that holiness that we must have to enter the kingdom of God. Is not looking back to this flesh. It's being put in Christ. And it's continuing in this fountain. In this cleansing, sanctifying, holy fountain. It's Him. It's Him. It's Him. I've told you this before, brethren. Follow after holiness, without which no man shall enter into the kingdom of God. That thief on the cross that the Lord entered in by His Spirit. And he said, and that sinner said, Lord, have mercy on me. Would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And the Lord said, today, as soon as you close your eyes in this body of death, today you're going to be with me in glory. Your spirit's going to be with me in glory right now. And that man with his hands nailed to a cross and his feet nailed to a cross without doing anything, by the Spirit of Christ, by the Holy Spirit of God, by the sanctifying, cleansing fountain of holiness, he had the holiness without which no man shall see the kingdom of God. And he entered in with Christ that day. Christ is that holiness. That's when I found that out. you talk about a burden lifted off. You talk about a tremendous load taken off. And you talk about a rejoicing. And you talk about a strengthening of these wobbly, weak, feeble knees. Can we boast in Him too much? Can we put any too much confidence in Him? We need wisdom. God said He's the wisdom. We need all our deeds to be right legally before God. He says He is our righteousness. And we need to be holy. We need to be purified by the purifier and made the purification that He is to enter. And God said He is the sanctification. Now here's the last thing He is. In all of these things, He said, of God are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and here's this fourth thing, redemption. You know what redemption means? It means complete deliverance. It means complete deliverance by a ransom that has been paid. Paid in full. Bought. Purchased. Done. Never to be reversed. Never. Sometimes we get up to the checkout line and we fumble around and realize, I don't have enough money to buy what I was wanting to buy. This, everything's been paid in full. And Christ is that redemption. He is that price God demands. He is that price that God will accept and none other but Him. And He said, He has delivered us because He, by Himself, He has obtained for every chosen elect child of God, Jew or Gentile, bond or free, male or female, those of God's choosing, of God are they in Christ Jesus. Of God are they made wisdom, Christ made unto them wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and complete and total redemption. He hath obtained for us eternal redemption. It's done. And He's coming back. I tell you what's going to happen. We're going to, because we are still in this flesh, and because this body is still flesh, this body is going to, we're going to go to the grave. We're going to close our eyes in death. We're going to draw our last breath because this flesh must be returned to the dust because that's all it is. But as soon as we close our eyes in death, because of Christ the wisdom, Christ the righteousness, Christ the holiness, Christ the redemption, we're going to open our eyes. Like that. Faster than that. I can't blink. Just blink. And it's going to be, we're waiting on Christ to come back right now. And when He comes back, there's going to be a redemption of all the bodies that He's purchased by His blood. And He's going to bring our body, resurrect a new body, created anew by Him, just like He's created the Spirit anew by Him. And it's going to be resurrected, and we're going to be redeemed in body, soul, and spirit. But you know what? Fact is, when we close our eyes in death, and open our eyes, it's going to be done. I'm going to be there, and all those He died for is going to be there, and Christ is going to be there, and it's going to be done. God's eternal. I just have to think on that. That's we're going. It's going to be done. It's going to be done. Can you glory with me, brethren? Now, let's be honest. Nothing we have said here today gives this man, this flesh that you and I are, any reason to boast. Absolutely nothing. Now, do we really want God to have all the glory? Believers, say this. This is what Psalm 44:8. Listen to this. You don't have to turn there. Let me just read this to you. We're going to read the same thing again here in verse 31. Look here. This is what Psalm 44:8 says. In God we boast all the day long and praise Thy name forever. Now that's what Paul says, while all this is accomplished by the grace of God in 1 Corinthians 1:31, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, He that wants to boast, he that wants to put his confidence, his rejoicing, his joy, all his praise, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Amen.